Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We are here to talk about Season 3, Episode 7, The Dead, of American Horror Story. And, it's a Kyle episode, largely. It's a Kyle episode. I'm joined by Michelle of Weird Slow Beef. Hey, gang, are you here for the Kyle episode?
I mean,
boy,
I'm here.
Am I?
I'm present.
I'm here, largely against my will, to discuss the Kyle episode. Well, I guess it's not all Kyle episode. It's also a lot of trying to make us feel bad for Delphine, so it's worse.
Yeah, a lot of backstory for a lot of characters we didn't want or need backstory for that are not our main cast and are not characters that, like, really directly affect the main cast in most ways. Like, on one hand, I'm glad that we're at least addressing Kyle again, because at this point, it's like, well, you went to the trouble of showing us Kyle and making him a zombie, and then he killed his mom, and you gave him a weird backstory, and then he meandered off into the night, never to be seen again for 3 episodes. So at least it's not frustrating in that way, where, like, at least we're acknowledging that Kyle exists again, so it doesn't feel like they gave us Kyle for no reason, though they did give us Kyle for no reason. What's wild to me is they like, so clearly establish in the first couple episodes of this season what the plot of this season was going to be, like, what the big, like, the crux of this season would be.
Yeah.
And then we've just kind of not had anything to do with that every episode. Yeah,
I would argue there have been like 3 major prongs of the setup, right? The first one is girl discovers witch powers and goes to a witch school to learn witch stuff. Has that happened even like a little bit once?
In this episode, Madison will say a very confusing line where she says she's sexually assaulted and then goes back to class the next day. But we've not seen a class in this school since the season started. So it's okay. Very confusing.
Okay. Yeah.
The next major one is everything regarding Fiona and the Supreme. I feel like this envelops Fiona has cancer. Fiona going on a weird kick to be with a jazz man, which we'll get to. All of that. And then the last one is kind of like the witches are dying out and there are people who want them dead. For example, the voodoo people, you know, like that group, that the Madame Laveau's stuff,
right.
That whole thing. And that's like the 3 major plot points, and I think we like lightly touch on one of them today, but we don't make like any major moves in it, right?
Oh, we make major moves. They're just really weird and they don't like move the plot forward. Major moves happen. They're just lateral moves.
There is a beautiful moment of Zoe just deciding, like, I'm taking action, and it's like, whoa, why that? Whoa.
Why that action? Why did we do that one? Why was that the one you picked? Yeah, it's no plot will be furthered. No one will. Well, okay, it'll be furthered like a little bit, like very, very slightly. In fact, I would argue that it's not even so much furthered as it is just they reminded us what the plot was at one point during this episode. completely unrelated to the rest of the episode is more Kyle backstory for some godforsaken reason. I guess they wanted us to feel bad about Kyle again for some reason.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
I don't want to feel bad about Kyle.
So, like, I don't have tattoos, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, I think tattoos are neat. I'm like, oh, that's a cool piece of art. Not for me, but like, I get it. I can appreciate a, you know, painting on any medium.
Sure.
He has the weirdest takes on tattoos. It's like so confusing. I don't know what message they're going for with this.
At a tattoo parlor. To set the scene, we're at a tattoo parlor in the past. It's like a flashback. Whose flashback? I guess no one's, because this can't be Kyle's. Well, he can't. Well, I guess maybe he can. Maybe he has the faculties to have flashbacks. I don't know. That seems like he has memories.
For us. It's a little treat for the audience, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you want to worry about Kyle here. Don't worry about it. It's for you.
It's us, the audience, getting the gift of the sight for, like, 3 minutes so that we can touch Kyle's hand and see his memory, I guess. Because as we are, like, informed in about 15 minutes into the television show, like, Kyle doesn't really have, like, human faculties really anymore, so I right. would struggle to believe that he has this clear, concise memory, and if so, he's not relaying it to anybody, so it really is just for us. But he's at a tattoo parlor with like a bunch of his shithead fraternity brothers, and his fraternity brothers are all getting tattoos together at the same time, and they're all getting like random things while Kyle like walks around and talks about how much he loves the band Toto. It's really weird, and then one of the shitheads makes like a gay joke about Toto and also Kyle. And then in a few minutes,
as someone from the Midwest, this part is normal. That does happen a lot. Sure. That's totally used to, at least. I hope less so now. But yeah, saying like, oh, I like this band that is not explicitly the most for men thing that's ever been created. Ah, gay.
Right.
Yeah, pretty normal. Sad, yeah. Pretty normal. Yeah.
Yeah. One of them also, I'll be honest, I don't remember any of these gentlemen.
Why would you?
Yeah.
Why would you?
Well, the reason I bring this up is because I don't remember off the top of my head if any of these are like, quote unquote, the really bad ones, like the ones who orchestrated Madison's assault. Because in about 2 minutes, we're supposed to feel bad that Kyle misses these people, which if he does, and they are the bad ones, I feel like Madison was right from the beginning, and maybe Kyle's not a good person.
I read it a little differently. I think I know what you're going with, but maybe I'm wrong. So, like, because, yeah, it happened. The thing that happens next, right, when we get out of the flashback. Which,
yeah, well, yeah, I think I understand what you're saying. It could also be interpreted as like he's really upset that he's now stuck with it.
We're like, but again, yeah, we're like, this is not me, really. Like, I know right. something's wrong, even right. though I can't quite put it together, right? Yeah.
That's also a charitable, you know, interpretation.
But as I'm saying,
I think
that,
it'd be cool to get a new arm if yeah. it was better than my arm. And it sounds like it was all upgrades, right? Like, you'd have to find a pretty big arm. But, like, I'd take it. I think it'd be tight. I might be a little freaked out at first, but, like, if someone was just like, yeah, we traded you out with someone who got a Brazilian butt lift, I'd be like, tight.
Just so...
like, all right, sick.
Yeah, just so in case you're not totally... Like, just to bring everybody up to speed, what happens is after the flashback ends, Kyle is looking at one of the tattoos that he has that belong to his friends, because he's a composite of everybody from the bus wreck. So... Yeah, I get what Liz is saying, which is like, if he has his friend's tattoo and he's upset about his friend being dead, but his friend's also, you know, pretty shitty guy, then it's like, fuck you, Kyle. But like, I was wondering if he was just kind of looking at this like, I'm some kind of monster. But the only thing is that he seems like he doesn't even have the faculties for that. Like, that still seems like an advanced thought for where he is. And talking about this made me realize, this does seem like it's Kyle's flashback, even though it can't be, right? Like, now that I'm thinking about it, because we come out of the flashback to him, so yeah.
There's a third or fourth interpretation of this that's even dumber, because like Ty said, he does have this weird speech he gives in the middle of the flashback scene at the tattoo parlor, where they're like, what tattoo are you gonna get? And he's like, I don't want to get a tattoo, because I'm gonna build levees.
I hated this
so
much.
For Hurricane Katrina, so it doesn't happen again.
My sleeves, and I don't want the big engineering boss to see I got a tattoo or something and think I'm not gonna be his hero. I'm not gonna be his knight in shining armor. To which I'm like, dog, any engineering boss just sees a tattoo, their reaction isn't gonna be like, oh, tattoo. Their reaction is gonna be like, oh, cool tat.
Yeah, also, like, do you have any idea how many blue-collar workers have tattoos, Kyle? Like,
in New Orleans? Truly. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm with the Army Corps of Engineers reading building the levees in New Orleans. Like, with a tattoo? No, you're not, good sir. You know what I mean? Like, get the fuck out of here. Like,
it's so weird. It's such a weird, like, interaction for him to be, again, in a tattoo parlor. Like, I do have tattoos, quite a few of them. And if anybody was, like, in the tattoo parlor, even if they were just, like, sitting with people, because I've gotten tattoos while other people have been with me, and I've been in there when other people are in there getting tattooed, and they have people with them.
Yeah.
If your vibes are bad, they'll just tell you to leave. And, like, that's, yeah, those are bad vibes. Like, being like, I don't like tattoos. Tattoos are icky, and bad people get tattoos. They're going to be like, all right, man, get the fuck out of our tattoo parlor.
This is one of two reasons why the best Magic the Gathering card shop I've ever been to in my life, and I miss it dearly, was a tattoo parlor that just on off days would just do Magic the Gathering tournaments, because the owners would absolutely throw someone out if they were being a shithead. Like, no questions asked. They're just used to it, so they'd do it. Also, it had to be clean all the time because they did tattoos in there. It was awesome.
You know, like, if you talked shit about the iPhone in an Apple store, you'd get thrown out. So, like, a tattoo parlor is not going to fucking stand for it. Like, get out of here.
Yeah, and he's, like, I can't overstate. When we say that he's, like, giving, like, a little speech, he's, like, in the middle of the shop, like, giving this speech to, like, everyone in the shop. It's not like he's just having a one-on-one conversation with, like, one of his buddies who's getting tattooed. He's, like, literally giving a weird speech in the middle of the shop for some reason. It is wild. And then he, like, snaps back into it, and he sees, like, zombie Kyle, Frankenstein Kyle, right, sees that he has his friend's tattoos both on his arm and his leg, which means that he has his friend's arm and leg, and he like, melts down when he sees it, which, like we've said, there's, like, a bajillion different ways you could interpret it, and it's all real dumb. All of the interpretations of this are very stupid.
Also, just, like, he's not, like, a fully... He doesn't have his faculties.
No.
He's not, like, an adult right now, functionally, which, everyone, please keep in mind that this is functionally a toddler. I think it's, like, so important to highlight that Kyle, as of right now, is functionally a toddler. Keep thinking about
it. Yeah, you're going to hate why that revelation. I don't even think you need to guess too hard. But, yeah, anyway. There's a lot
Speaking of uncomfortable scenes starring Kyle, Zoe shows up because he's, like, chained up in the greenhouse. And she has a gun. Where did Zoe get a gun? Incredible question, OP. I have no idea, and it does not ever explain where Zoe gets a gun from. It's also, like, a really weird, small little handgun, like a woman's handgun that you'd have in, like, your purse, but, like, maybe even smaller. It's such a small handgun.
It's like a 1911 Junior. Yeah, it's a very, very weird small gun.
And she has it behind her back, and I'm like, I mean, at this point, man, why are you hiding?
Right?
Like, what are you doing? And she, like, comes up to him and is like, hey, buddy, you upset about your tattoos? What's going on? Which another very uncharitable interpretation is just that Kyle's just upset he has tattoos. Because he didn't want tattoos.
I like that one the best. I think that's the funniest option. It's just like, God damn it. I mean, like, I'd be really pissed off if after a whole lifetime of not doing... it's not really a fair comparison. I was going to say, like, if someone just ran up and shot heroin into me, I'd be pretty mad. But, like, tattoos aren't that. Tattoos are, like, beautiful art, you know?
His monkey's paw is like, you came back to life, but now you can't be an engineer. Or at least in your mind.
No!
Yeah. Like, honestly, I'm thinking, like, if I woke up with, like, a tattoo and it was, like, something, like, kind of cool, I'd be okay with it. And if it was, like, really bad, I'd be like, damn, time to pay a lot of money for laser removal,
right?
I guess.
It's like, oh,
time to optic blast my shit.
You know, frankly, it's like, I cheated death. I hate this tattoo, but it's a fair trade, you know?
Yeah.
I would just assume I had a demonic brand of some form. So, like, something I can just pay to laser away? Are you kidding me? What a bargain.
By the way, just quick aside, I was at the gym. This guy asked me to spot him, and he had the Berserk brand tattoo, which is, like, begging for hard difficulty in real life. Oh. But anyway, like...
Holy shit, I wear a Berserk hat, but that guy's built different, damn.
Yeah, I would be. I think I would be mad if I woke up and found out that like my tattoos were gone on one of my limbs. I'd be like, God damn it, those were expensive and took like a lot of time. I'd be like, man, now someone else has them. This sucks. Because now someone else has my tattoos, which is another point that I also had the thought while I was
most
watching.
Obnoxious Faye.
stealing my tattoos.
Your tattoos are mine now.
Like, also very lucky for Kyle that he has the exact same body proportions as all of his friends, and he's not like some weird like hodgepodge of height, leg, and arm sizes. Like, they're
bro
all just
less
the same.
Bro is more symmetrical than I am, and I'm just one guy. Like, I was born one guy.
Yeah, it's very lucky for him that all of his friends have the same body proportions as he does, I guess. Unlucky that they had tattoos when they died, I guess. That sucks. But yeah, Zoe approaches him with a gun and is like, hey, little buddy, I'm gonna have to shoot you because you're not a guy. You, we brought you back and we shouldn't have, and you're not a guy, so I'm gonna have to shoot you. Yeah.
We just get a bunch of those from Kyle.
And then I'll be honest, I don't know how this happened. Like, I blinked and missed how we got here, but somehow he gets the gun.
So
yeah, it's like maybe the worst gun handling of all time. So like, my like Zoe competence rating went from like 12 out of 10, aka Zoe, babe, where'd you get that gun? To why did you just walk up to the zombie and hold the gun out and be like, grab this, please? Because that's basically she, like, what she does. Like, she walks up to him and it's like, you know what a gun does, right? Like, it's there from here. Like, you don't have to be over there.
She's like holding it up to his head to be like, this is the right thing, but I can't do it. And then like he's like holding the gun, not to grab it from her, to be like, gun, you know. And she's like having an emotional problem shooting him. And then it's like, yeah, and then it's like, ta-da. Like, I got it now.
Well, and then he grabs it and he like points it at his own head and gets ready to kill himself with it, which is like a whole lot of sentience all of a sudden. That's a lot of decision making. That's not a free choice that man just made.
And firearm knowledge.
And
firearm, has to know what a gun is. Didn't just try to, like, eat the gun, you know?
I mean, he does try to eat the gun, but not in the way that you think.
So
he does, in fact, try to eat the gun.
Tackles him. Zoe just, like, grabs it out of him and is like, no, don't. I can't have anyone killing Kyle. And it's like, Zoe, you just walked down with
Zoe, what are we doing here? Like, let's make a decision.
Yeah,
you know?
This is Zoe's. This is not even the first time Zoe has tried to kill him. This is the second time Zoe has tried to kill him. She just, like, he escaped the first time and was gone, so she couldn't kill him the first time.
It's weird because what it is to me is they're acting like this is some great emotional sacrifice or something, like Zoe getting rid of Kyle. Like, oh, it would be so hard for her to get, how would she live without Kyle? And I'm like, easily, with less problems, more smiles probably on average.
She like knew him like, one night, you know, and his friends like tried to assault her, you know, or did rather, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, this is a lot of like fucking, there's a lot of like wallpapering over the plot happening. But
also, not to mention that it's like incredibly obvious that, like, well, first of all, he killed someone already. He killed his mom and he killed that guard. So, like, he's definitely dangerous. And then secondly, like, he's very clearly not happy to be alive and doesn't want to be alive anymore.
Yeah.
But Zoe's like,
also only killed his mom, to be clear. Like, didn't kill anyone else, which is why it's always so shocking when Zoe kind of like pops off and is like, you killed your mom, and like doesn't have a single moment of reflection of like, now why is that?
And then they wrestle over the gun, and the top of the greenhouse gets shot, and then like a couple of people inside are like, oh, I heard a noise. And then that's it. And then he's like, what am I? Which is, again, that's like that's pretty sapient. That's pretty sentient for being just basically a flesh puppet, truly.
I don't think I thought, what am I, until I was like 15.
Yeah, very strange what they've decided to do with Kyle as a character. And it's going to get, just infinitely worse by the end of this episode. Just infinitely worse. Madison's back, though. After our title sequence plays, Madison's back, and she's got another set of weird zombie problems because she's also a zombie.
I hate this.
She, even though like five other characters at this point have been revived in the same method and have also been in various states of decay, is like, like her body's fucked up and like she doesn't feel anything, like, period, like emotional or physical. She gives a weird like speech about, well, sitting on the stairs with a candelabra for some reason, gives a weird speech about like social media and being a millennial and something like that. And she's like,
just something about how like I've become numb and jaded to everything because that's the real thing millennials are above, like, spoiled and all that, is just we don't feel anything.
No.
We just block everything out, which it's like, get over it. Go kick a football. Yeah. I don't know, man.
It's also the wrong stereotype. That's supposed to be the Gen X stereotype, is that they're jaded and don't care about anything, you know?
Yeah, millennials unfortunately care too much most of the time. Can confirm as a millennial that anxiety is a real bitch, and anxiety is essentially caring too much all the time about everything at all points in time. A generation that's known for not having a great time most of the time.
Waking up into a situation, largely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But she's like, yeah, I can't feel anything. Like, I tried having a lot of sex and stuff and drinking to feel something. And I'm like, usually people do those to avoid feelings. Like, if that becomes a problem to the point where you're doing it to, like, escape, usually it's the opposite. You don't usually drink to feel something, but whatever. And then she's like, so I meandered into Cordelia's, I was going to say warehouse, but it's like supposed to be the greenhouse.
Plant warehouse.
Botany, and started just chugging potions, which, I mean, honestly, if I knew I couldn't die, I'd chug some potions.
Does she know that?
No,
because like I think,
but I don't think she cares.
I mean, to be fair, like, she's learned that there's not a price of death, really. You know what I mean? So like it's like, so
yeah,
someone.
I think that's say, the big
but you're still bang.
Is yeah, she's like, oh no, what's gonna happen? A hot swamp lady will have to pick me up again. Woe is me.
Yeah,
God forbid I have to get resurrected again. And so she just takes a bunch of the potions, and eventually one of them like makes her look less dead. And that's, like,
Like, it just literally is.
Yeah.
It's an excuse for the costume department to stop having to do her fucking
makeup.
It really
makeup is, yeah. It 100% is.
Also, like, now she can just go out in public and it's no big deal again. Like, they literally were like, we realized painting her like a zombie was going to be wildly inconvenient.
Yeah, so we made her not a zombie anymore. That doesn't do anything. In case you're curious as to like if that's like a plot point, it's not. It's just she doesn't have the makeup on anymore. And then she's like, yeah, I also am so hungry all the time, and eating doesn't do anything. I just am always hungry and I never feel full. So she like eats most of the stuff in the house. That is relevant. That does lead into another scene. But like, that's a weird side effect to have. Implication that like her organs liquefied? Like, how is she still alive?
I think the implication,
there's a lot of questions.
I guess the implication is supposed to be like nothing is sating her, hence she just eats all the time. But like, you would physically be full unless, yeah, like you have no organs, in which case like nothing's really working here, you know? Like, but
yeah, but like none of the other revived people have this problem. Like Queenie also died and was brought back, and she's not like, yeah, I can't feel anything. This sucks.
I can't taste.
I think it's supposed to be because, like, she was so decomposed, like, missing an arm and stuff, you know? Like, it had happened for a while because she was in Spaulding's thing. But, like, I feel like, I don't know, it feels like that's happened. Like, Delphine's, like, fine, even though she wasn't dead, I guess. But, like, I don't know, it's...
Also, the witches have already shown that they can just, like, be like, heal wound, and then you no longer have a wound. So it's... The problem is they have such good healing spells that it's weird when someone leaves the job half finished. It feels really strange. It's like
that's the first thing you work on, right? If you, like, someone in the first group of witches is going to decide to become the healer. There's going to be one really good human being in the first batch of 12 who will be the healer. And they're getting that done, like, week one.
But also, like, it's like, the problem with this whole school still is there's no adults. Like, so, Delia's not around. I know she's blind, but she should be around. And, like...
She just got blind, and she wasn't around before.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, then I understand Fiona's too busy banging Axeman or flirting with him or whatever the hell she's doing, I guess, tonight. But, like, you know, Madison doesn't know when to ask. Just like, hey, I can't feel anything. Is that normal? Misty? And Misty, oh, sorry, yeah, here, bibbidi-boo, you're good now, you know, or whatever. Like,
Misty's not even in this episode. Right? The lady who brought two of these characters back isn't even here. And, like... at some point, you'd think also, like, she being Madison is talking like this has been something that's going on for weeks, but like Beef just said, like, Fiona has either been gone for, like, a week, or this, she's just giving this speech apropos of being alive for 12 hours, which I would think maybe it would just take some time to, like, get your body going again. You know, like, when you leave, like, a computer off for a long time, sometimes it's gotta process a lot of updates or something. I would assume that there'd be some reboot time when you've been decomposing for that long.
And so the other thing, too, is, like, they try to make it so she acts like she doesn't remember, or she doesn't remember how she died or whatever. And I guess that's supposed to be just like, oh, well, Fiona wouldn't care because she doesn't know. But, like, you know what Fiona does know is that Fiona's daughter has the ability to touch people and see whatever the worst thing that happened to them was. So, like, yeah, Fiona would care. Fiona's been shown to be many things, but fucking stupid is none of them. So, like, she would figure this out. Yeah, it's so weird. It's like they want Fiona to feel like she's been gone for, like, 6 months, even though it's been, like, half an episode.
Yeah, maybe not even a full day. Because, like, when we see her the next time we see her, which will be in a few scenes, it's the same night that, like, we actually go back in time, and it's the same night that the Axeman, like, went to the bar and found her.
Maybe.
Which, how did he do that, by the way? Because he can't leave the house, so how did he just, like, intuit what bar Fiona was gonna be at?
It gets even weirder later, too, you know, but I guess we should finish out this scene before we get into, like, all the problems with Axeman as a ghost that recently escaped the house. Like, where did you get an apartment? But, you know, whatever. Let's see here. What...
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is where Zoe has a gun and does a little wrestle with Kyle, and Kyle tries to shoot himself, and she goes, no.
Yeah.
No, don't do it.
This is also the first of two times that she will say that she brought Kyle back, and both of the people that she will say she brought back to life in this episode, she had nothing to do with that person being brought back to life, like, at all.
Kyle was strictly a joint venture between Madison and Misty Day, and perhaps the devil. You could argue the devil, but not Zoe.
Yeah, Zoe had Zoe was present for both of them, but, like, was not actively participating. I say this because Zoe will begin to act for the rest of not only this episode but the rest of the show, probably. Like, she is just the hottest shit witch around, even though she's not developed any more powers and has not shown a proclivity for being better.
Hey, not so fast. She developed one power. She was just able to feel what was the right book.
That's true. What power would you say that is?
Librophilia?
Dewey Decima.
You really want to fuck the books? Yeah, so yeah. Dewey, yeah.
Yeah, the Dewey Decima spell book. Also, like, I don't know, if you use spells, like, out of a book, I feel like that's not a power. Like, I feel like anybody can do that. You don't have to be, like,
a
witch.
The power is finding the spells. She doesn't do the... That's not the power. The power is just finding them. It's like having the Dewey Decimal system just natively built in. It's, again, not a good power. I mean, come on. Her first one was the Death Vag. Like, she's got to work up slowly.
That's true. That's so true. But going back to the Madison was eating everything in the house. It's now a new scene. Yeah. And Queenie is in the kitchen like, holy shit, someone ate literally all of our food. What the fuck? And she's like, I'm so hungry. And then this begins something infuriating, which is Delphine being a cute little lady. And by that, I mean Kathy Bates being a cute little old lady. Kathy yeah. Bates is endearing and adorable this entire episode, which is the worst thing that they could possibly have that character be.
Yeah.
Just period.
And to be clear, like, at this point, just if you are watching along, mentally separate Kathy Bates from the character or else you're going to go wild. Because they even put her in, like, a fun little sweater to make her look more just like Kathy Bates. It's fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know how Delphine up until this point has been largely accurate, for the most part, to, like, the real awful lady that she is playing, who, like, hates minorities and is just one of the worst people that's ever lived, probably? Mm-hmm. Suddenly she's, like, someone's very sweet, beloved grandma, who's just a delight to be around for some reason. She's just flipped a switch and is now a delightful little old woman.
She's supposed to be like comic relief, where it's like, I don't understand what's going on in modern times. I'm a little more cynical in that Kathy Bates is fine. I mean, she does a great job with like garbage, but like, you know, this is still like, I have so many issues with this of like the things that she like knows and doesn't know or whatever. This ends up being almost like close to like a Burger King ad or something, because she's just like, but where will we get food? There's nothing in any of these things. Where could we get food at such an hour? You know, and it's like, Queenie's...
The little man in the box. The little man in the box will give us food.
That being said, so they're going to a drive-thru to get some food, and he lets the funniest line in the world go just because of Kathy Bates's incredible delivery, which is the person asks, like, would you like to supersize that for $1.99 more? And Kathy Bates leans over excitedly and goes, do we dare? And it's like just such good delivery. It's such a good bit. Holy
it's good.
Shit.
It's
yeah.
Good.
Like Delphine is like, yeah. Really hyped to be like Delphine and Queenie are like besties now, and like Delphine loves Queenie and loves hanging out with Queenie, and so Queenie takes her to like some nondescript drive-through in the middle of the night, and like
yeah,
it's like a cute little outing between Queenie and her adoptive grandma. If her adoptive grandma was actually one of the worst real historical figures that ever lived in the history of the United States, it's crazy. Again, she's gonna keep being adorable for the rest of the episode, and it fucking sucks. It fucking sucks. You cannot, like, imagine if at one point during season 2, they just made Dr. Arden, like, someone's cute little grandpa who, like, had never heard a fly and was, like, an adorable little old man who was delightful in everything that he said. That would have been fucked up and would have sucked. At least they kept Dr. Arden weird and off-putting for the whole entire season. Also, Dr. Arden wasn't a real man in real life that they made into a character in the show. Who had done atrocities.
They did the smart thing. He wasn't Mengele. He was, like, another, like, original character kind of based on this. I don't know why we didn't continue that trend, but sorry.
No, we had to have a real lady in here, and she's now learning about drive-thrus. And so she's, like, snacking on a burger, just chowing down on a burger with her new best friend, Queenie. And they're, like, talking about how, like, Queenie doesn't really feel like she belongs in the coven, and, like, she's got, like, these, like, feelings and is, like, feeling anxiety. And Delphine's like, oh, yeah, like, they're never gonna accept you. Like, she just kind of, like, says it. She's like, oh, yeah, they totally don't. Like, have your back the way that you have their back. And she's like, is it because I'm fat? And she's like, no, it's because you're black. And, like, she doesn't say it, like, maliciously.
It's like, yeah,
she just, like, says it, like, they're probably racist. Yeah. She's like, they're probably racist. Which, I mean, like, maybe. She's maybe not wrong, but, like, it's very odd that we have this character saying it in the way that she's saying
it. If she's right for the wrong reasons. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like a privilege or anything like that. She's just like, you know, white people and black people can't mix. Like, they hate you. You know what I mean? It's like, that's where I think she's supposed to be coming from. But it comes across, you know what I mean? And the problem is that, like, Queenie's going to explore that later, you know? So.
And explore it real quick. end with a hurry. Makes her a decision quickly. It's just wild that
Queenie would have any reaction to her saying that other than fuck you. Like, that's all. Yeah. Like, fuck you, lady. Like,
or being like, oh, that's just that racist lady talking again. But like, it's hard to like make that be a reality when she's being when Kathy Bates is being a delightful little old lady enjoying her burger very cutely in the passenger seat on this little like midnight adventure with her new best friend Queenie. It's a very hard thing to rectify. And I don't know if they like told Kathy Bates to be this way. They had to have because of what happens by the end of this episode. They're like, we have to make people feel bad about what's going to happen. So make her not as awful as she has been up until now, which is not something you can do when it's a character that's based on a real person who did terrible, horrible, atrocious things to real human beings.
Like, she did them in this show too, even if it weren't like, you know what I mean? Like, even if it weren't the real Madame Latifina or whatever, it's like, she's still like a shit person in the show. Like, she's not gone. There's no earned redemption here.
And so, like, the thing is, like, a minor spoiler, they do have her, like, quote-unquote, you know, like, kind of get hers proper at the end of this episode. But it just, like, it doesn't feel earned because it feels like they do it as a twist. Because they're, like, treating her so nice and having her be so reasonable and so nice and so, like, enjoyed by all the characters around her. Like, for some reason, they decided they needed to make Queenie, like, deciding to not like Delphine be, like, a twist when, like, nah, it was cool. We could have just cut out the whole part with Delphine.
Like, yeah. That would be fine, I think. And they very heavy-handedly want you to feel bad for Delphine by the end of the episode. They're like, you should feel bad. And to their credit, I feel bad for Kathy Bates by the end of the episode. Like, I don't feel bad for Delphine because the character she's playing in this episode might as well not be Delphine. It might as well just be some random lady.
100%.
And I do, by the end of it, I do feel bad about what happens when she gets quote unquote like betrayed or whatever. Kathy Bates did a great job. Wish this would have just been a random lady and not like, I don't know, one of the worst racists probably that's ever lived, who harmed real people who also lived, and didn't get a redemption in the show even. Like, just, we've decided she's a nice lady now, and that makes it fine. But yeah, so we'll get there eventually.
Off-screen even. She just got better.
Yeah, she just got cured of the racism. Yeah. And I made a comparison to her and Kylo Ren a few episodes ago. Very much so the same thing of like, all right, well, just because you feel bad about it doesn't mean you didn't do all the murders. So you are going to have to be responsible for the murders you did, even if you do feel bad about it now. You do have to be held accountable for those, unfortunately. We can't just like be like, it's okay, you didn't mean it, probably. Well, you definitely did at the time, but like, you don't now, so it's fine now. Now, we get a very weird interim scene where Delia, who is sleeping because it's the middle of the goddamn night, gets a phone call from Hank, who's like distraught for some reason. Unclear why. Unclear if he's distraught because his wife doesn't like him anymore, or if it's because Marie Laveau's gonna murder him or what. It's unclear why. He's upset and he's like, I miss you, I'm so sad. And she's like, I hate you, go to bed, stinky. And then he's like, okay. And it zooms out and he's just got like a billion guns around him on the floor, and he's just like sitting sadly like the Joker in the Suicide Squad, surrounded by knives, except for he's surrounded by like explosives and different weapons. And I'm like, man, do you need all these? Is this how you fight witches in the current day? Like, you just gotta have, like, an RPG? Like, is that what's going on? Feels like there's an easier way.
Honestly, most of the witches seem, like, very easy to kill.
Yeah. I mean, he killed the Thomas Kincaid lady by just, like, being nice to her, basically.
And she had one of the most dangerous abilities of just, you're on fire now. And he just invalidated it by shooting her in the back of the head. Like, holy shit. Like, what? Who cares about a witch?
Yeah. Also, his wife is blind. It feels like he definitely has, like, the upper hand. And he knows that she doesn't have, like, telekinesis or whatever. Because he knows. It's not like Hank the like the fake persona Hank had didn't know that his wife was a witch. Like, he knew it. Like, he's known that everybody has powers, and it's just like they just don't know he's a witch hunter. But like the fake guy that he's pretending to be that married Delia, like, he knows about the magic. So like, it's not like they hide their powers from him. But yeah, anyway, he's surrounded by guns. Is that relevant? Who knows? It does not have a payoff in this episode, so it doesn't matter. And then, for some reason, we have an interaction where Delia hears someone just kind of like piddling around in the house. And she's like, who is that? And she like meanders out and almost falls down a flight of stairs. And I'm like, this is why we need to have somebody with the newly blind lady. To make sure she doesn't fall. Why, first of all, why did we put the newly blind lady upstairs? Feels like we need to move her into her office, which is downstairs. Why did we put the newly blind lady upstairs
king-size
by the
mattress.
Staircase? Oh, true.
I fuck up and miss a step going down all the time, and I have both of my eyes. So, like, that seems, yeah, terrible, terrible stuff. And she almost does beef it immediately.
She's got sight, though. See? It works like VR with a camera in the front, you know, where you kind of see things just not as well. It's like lower res.
Yeah, no depth perception. Yeah. Like, you might run into stuff.
Yeah, so she almost falls down the stairs, and Madison is just on the stairs again, I guess.
She loves it there. Still, Madison loves being on the stairs now.
Yeah, it's her new shit. And gets touched by Cordelia, who immediately sees her get her throat slashed by Fiona, which...
This is a hell of an interaction. A hell of an interaction. So Delia does not know Madison is in the house or alive.
Right.
And she almost beefs it down the stairs, and like Madison, who is standing there, like saves her from beefing it. First of all, Madison doesn't like have a reaction to Delia not having her eyes. I can't imagine that Madison knew at this point that Delia doesn't have her eyes, and I feel
not
like
giving a shit about anyone but themselves.
Fucking millennials, killing the being blind industry. Truly. Like, she does not have any reaction to seeing Delia be... Like, when we say Delia is, like, visibly blind, like, her face is, like, still completely fucked up from the acid. Like, it's one of those things where, like, you don't guess that she's blind. You know that
but
she's
still in
blind
a cheap makeup
by
way.
Her
eyes are, like, fully cataract.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
the big thing. Like, fully milky white cataracts. Like, nothing... No light is getting in there. Yeah.
And horrendous scarring around her ocular, like, region. Like, it's very clear something... like traumatic physically happened to her eyes. The only way they could make it more clear is if she just straight up did not have eyeballs. But yeah, Madison is just like, oh, hey, careful, don't fall down the stairs. And then like she keeps Delia from falling down the stairs. And then instantaneously, Delia is like, Fiona, and does not elaborate even a little bit. Just goes,
Madison's
oh,
like, no, Madison.
Fiona.
Like, duh, anyway.
Yeah. No, this is Patrick.
I'm not your mother. Whoa, what happened to you?
Yeah, and then, like, again, no follow-up, just... And I can't even imagine how this happened after. Like, what the... Like, I have to imagine that, like, she's just like, okay, now take me back to bed or something, and, like, doesn't explain further, because it just ends the scene right there with no further conversation between
these
two characters.
She goes, I gotta go, and then fall down the stairs trying to get back to her apartment.
Just as Fiona, and then rolls out. Because remember, Madison probably doesn't even know she has the sight either. So, like... All that Madison knows is that Delia grabs her, calls her the wrong name, and then does not explain anything from that point on.
And goes,
yeah,
Fiona, Fiona. I grabbed some of your potions, by the way. No. Commercial,
yeah. Madison's like, you might need to make some more potions. Like, I did drink all of them.
If you're missing one of everything, that was me.
Yeah.
I was just trying shit.
Some of them don't do anything, by the way. Some of them make my skin really good. You should make more of those. You should make more of the ones that make the makeup department not have to put makeup on you anymore. That would you be could really use it cool. too. Actually, it would save us a lot of money. Yeah.
But.
So going back to what I said before about this, now we're going back in time, I guess. Or maybe this is supposed to be the same day. I don't know. It's super confusing. I guess this is all happening on the same night. But, like, that would mean that this was Halloween, right? Because, no, I guess not. Because I guess that the Axeman didn't get, like, let out on Halloween. And I guess...
No, he just got freed.
Yeah. But, like, Fiona's out drinking, just, I guess, mm-hmm. randomly. I guess because of the chemo. I don't know. She's out... Fiona's out drinking, and then all of the stuff that happened in this episode unfolded,
you know what?
I guess.
I'm going to have to hit up a few of my friends who have gone through chemo and ask them how bad of an idea drinking during chemo is, because that sounds like the worst thing imaginable. I have to imagine that's like at the top of don't do that list.
You know what else is probably pretty high on the list of things you're probably not supposed to do when you get chemo is
unprotected sex.
Well, yeah, that's probably up there too, but I would also say taking assorted unmarked pills that you stole from the hospital that you just dumped into your purse without looking
at
what
she
they
keeps
were
doing that.
Yeah, she just keeps, she's doing the same thing Madison is doing with the potions, but with like prescription drugs that she just dumped loosely into her purse and didn't like
that made her
check.
Feel bad. The pills that turned the hospital into Silent Hill, why does she keep taking them?
She loves them. She loves the way they make her feel.
I love this.
She's like, eventually I'm going to see that hot pyramid head guy. This is all going to have a payoff eventually.
You're going to see them metallic cheeks, baby.
Yeah. I got to see those fat cheeks. Yeah, she keeps doing that. But she's at the Axeman's apartment. I have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Which Slow Beef is also summarized here in the notes also. Hey, we find out like how he gets this apartment, because the first thought I had was the same one Beef had, which is, how did he rent this apartment? Is this his apartment from before he died? Has it been just empty of people for 100 years? Because I don't think a landlord would do that.
Mm-hmm.
A landlord would definitely just put a different person in there when you didn't pay your rent. No, we find out what happens, which I guess, spoiler alert, he killed a guy and it's his apartment.
Which, no, that doesn't make it better, because he chose like the most shithole apartment possible. Like there's literally roaches crawling around in the sink at one point. So like, kill a guy at a
also,
nicer place.
Unrelated to like all of this is like, how did you find this guy? What time did you have? This is the same problem we had with Lana Winters killing what's-his-face Thredson in the last episode, or in the last season, of like, when did you have time between escaping the witch house and finding Fiona at a bar? Did you have time to find a guy who also plays jazz, break into his apartment and murder him, and then be like, this is where I live now? I assume that maybe it was his apartment at one time. Wild that another guy who likes jazz and also decorates it old-timey style also moved in and lives there. What a terrible coincidence for that guy.
It just doesn't work.
What if a family of wrestlers had moved in and like he just got his shit rocked when he tried to break into his old apartment? In case you're wondering, this does not
I
get
feel
answered,
like what happened was on even set, like a little. The actor goes, wait, why would I have an apartment? And like, just throwing a line about how you killed a guy. You know, like, just like make this work quick. Anyway.
Yeah, put a dead guy in the
yeah,
the bathtub.
We'll get this going.
It'll be fine. Yeah. Again, he somehow, like, intuited where Fiona would be, because he's been trapped in the house. And I doubt Fiona, like, makes it a habit of being like, I like saying the name of my favorite bar that I always go to out loud in the house that this ghost is also in. So he will also know at some point what bar I like to go to when I'm feeling stressed out, because I love saying the full name and address of it, because I'm sure this ghost does not have Google.
Well, you know, fortunately, it's not like the ghost has been watching her his entire life and hasn't exactly, like, you know, all opportunities to learn every single thing about her. There is that part.
No, that would be so crazy. That would be so crazy, Slow Beef.
Because that would totally kill the mood also. So anyway, yeah. Where were we?
Yeah, he has an apartment for some reason. I assume what they want us to think is that that's his apartment and he just killed the new person who lives there, which, again, wild coincidence that it's also, like, a jazz guy who also lives there. Who, like, also, like... kind of a slob, if we're being honest. Like, is a slob also, and also like, loves jazz.
He moves around very fluidly as though this was his place. Because even in, like, a place that's shaped the same as mine, if, like, the furniture is moved around differently, I'm going to look like a baby giraffe for a bit, just getting a little confused, bumping into shit. You know, I don't know. This guy just feels like he's been living here a long time. It's weird.
Yeah, it's very strange. But, like, he brings Fiona back there, and they're, like, flirting or whatever. And they're both, like, a little inebriated, and they keep drinking a little bit. And they start to get on the topic of, like, him, like, flirting with her, being like, you should be surrounded by nice things. And she's like, it's fine. I figured you lived in a shitty apartment. And I'm like, weird, but go off.
It's fine. You looked like a scumbag.
And then he, like, yeah. He flexes Faulkner at her, and she's like, oh, you went to college. And I'm like, is that what that means? Is that, it means you went to college?
I wanted jazz people to feel like they were really smart or something. He says, like, some stupid thing. Like, everybody thinks jazz people are stupid, but that's why I read Faulkner. Anyway, you know, like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't think that's a thing. I don't think that's a thing anybody thought.
Idiot musicians. Yeah. Like, saxophone, too, is not, like, an easy, like, yeah. You know what I mean? It's not a cheap instrument. Like,
famously, literature and the arts are wholly and totally separate.
What do you mean, bro?
And she's like, oh, that's so cool that you went to college or whatever. And then I had the thought, they're like touching a lot. And I'm like, okay, so is he he's obviously physically tangible because they're going to bump uglies in just a little while. Like, does she, like, touch him and get ghost memories? Is he invulnerable to, like, the sight or whatever?
She hasn't had the touch sight, at least yet, displayed.
Okay,
she
even
had
rolling
the
that
heard
back,
thoughts nearby.
Can she read his mind? Can she read a ghost's mind and be like, oh, that's a ghost. I can tell by reading his mind.
That's such a good question, Liz. I have no idea.
They don't know either.
Because that would be, if you were a mind reader, like, the first thing you vibe check on somebody is you walk up to them. Even if you're, like, trying not to read people's thoughts and, like, being, you know, kind and stuff. If you walked up to somebody and there wasn't even a murmur, you'd be like, uh-oh.
Or, like, at the bare minimum, I know for a fact the writers of this show didn't consider this because they have no idea how, like, real women think or act ever. But, like, if you're going back to a guy's apartment, and especially if it's, like, maybe a little bit sketchier, and if you had mind reading powers, you'd probably be like, I'm gonna just do a quick brush through there, make sure he's not planning on murdering me or something.
It's probably not even gonna be, like, a new idea I just had, either, at, like, whatever Fiona's age is, right? That's probably, like, the normal MO.
Yeah.
Because it's a smart move, you know? Like...
And she even says that, like, back in the day when she used to seduce all her other husbands or whatever, like, that's how she did it, was she would, like, read their mind and then become, like, their ideal woman and, like, have complete control over them that way. So, like, clearly this is not, like, a new thing that she would be unaware of, but whatever. That doesn't even a little bit get addressed. It's going to be so much weirder and worse than you think it's going to be. Anyway, Fiona's like, I've been drinking too much alcohol. I need to go to your weird fucked up bathroom. And she does. And her hair is falling out because of the chemo. And then she's like, this sucks. There's a cockroach in the sink. Okay, bye. And then she walks out and we get a shot where we see an overhead of the bathtub and we see the guy that he killed, like, in the bathtub with just, like, the shower curtain pulled around it. I'm like, that's sloppy work, my guy. Like, you didn't even bother, like, wrapping him up in something. You just put him somewhere and then you let her go into the bathroom where the dead body is.
Also,
like,
bodies
brother.
Smell. Like, they smell quickly, too. It's not like a thing where it needs to start. No, like, bodies make smells fast. they get worse, but, like, it's not great. Which, again, begs the question, when apparently he just fucking killed this guy. So how quick did he manage to get the turnaround from going the bar, scooping Fiona, and then convincing her to come back? Like,
and
how short of a time window is that? Because that blood wasn't,
like,
even drying.
And, like, did he die in the shower? Because he's fully clothed, and there's no blood anywhere else in the apartment. So, like, where's the blood that happened
also,
when he killed
like,
him?
Hey,
I need you to stand in the shower for me real quick, okay?
Also, like, I'll bring her back to my place. She won't want to use the bathroom or anything. That won't ever happen.
Everyone knows women don't be shitting, so yeah. I'll be fine.
They be pissing, according to season two, but they do not be shitting. Also, another thing, this is maybe exclusive. I don't know. It's because I watch a lot of horror movies and engage in a lot of horror media. I personally, the American Horror Story is insistent that people have their shower curtains closed all the time when they're not in the house. I'm like, no, they fucking don't. At least I don't. Are you joking? That's just, if I walk into my bathroom and my fucking shower curtain is closed, I'm like, there's someone back there. There's for sure someone back there who's about to murder me. There's no way there's not someone in my shower right now who's about to fucking kill me. Like, people don't, or if I walk into a bathroom and just the shower curtain is closed, I'm like, there's someone hiding in there. That was so, there's so someone in there with a knife. There's no way that there's not.
I have escaped that particular Plato's cave, but I'm still indifferent either way. I'm not going to like go out of my way to close it. That's weird. That would be very weird if someone was like, I'm always closing it every time. Like, poor K.
Yeah. What I'm saying is I assume that if it's closed, either something is being hidden in there or someone is hiding in there. Those are the only two like rationalizations I have for why someone would have, or their shower is just dirty as fuck. But anyway.
Yeah, I just do things arbitrarily. I essentially flip a coin with the universe that says whether or not I'm going to close it, and I just let it rock. That's all.
That's fair. But like, they're very insistent in this show that everybody has it closed. And every time that it is closed, it is in fact hiding something or someone.
A corpse or yeah. A ghost or a big man.
Yeah. 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 Or a combination of two or more of those things. Who could say?
One time it was two ghosts together. Wow.
And then one time it was two burglars hiding who got mad because they thought the guy whose house they were burgling thought that they called
so
him
weird
fat.
Still, it's not relevant. Like, God, that's so odd. Anyway,
if you haven't listened to the other seasons of the podcast, consider there's some good shit back there.
Yeah, that was season one. You should not our season one, but their season
yeah,
one.
Yeah. Season
give
one
it
of the
a listen.
Show, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, she just doesn't. But yet later, she will be acutely aware of the dead body. So either she reads his ghost mind, or at another point, or she just like intuited that there was a dead body in the bathroom when she was in there and just didn't give a shit at that current point in time. And was like, it's
whatever.
Fine. Yeah, whatever. No big deal. Who gives a shit? Fiona comes back out and is like, hey, I have decided I'm going to start nagging you now. I'm going to call you stinky. I'm going to say that you're like a deadbeat and that you suck and that I don't touch me, stinky. And then like starts gaslighting him before walking, trying to leave the apartment. And he's like, hey, what? No, I'm too down bad for this. You can't leave. I think that you're super awesome. And
you know, the thing is, all these ladies be coming out to see the jazz and they'd be watching the bass player instead of me fingering the keys. And it's like, come on, man. He's like, I'm the master of fingering. It's like, get over it, bro. Yeah. Come on. And Fiona's like, I'm into this. And I'm like, fuck's sake, Fiona.
Yeah, if some dude approached me and was like, I'm so good at, if he's like, first of all, I'm in a band and I'm real good at fingering because I play the saxophone. I'm good at fingering and blowing on stuff. I'm like, I think you understand
are you
the basics
good enough to make you forget about the fucking cockroach in your bathroom that level
and the dead body. I'm like, listen, the second you start blowing on it, I'm out of there. I'm tapping out, brother. The second you start blowing on my coochie, I'm out of here.
Chord. Is a C chord better, or is it like a C minor? Should we go D minor for this one? Like, I don't know. How does this help?
Yeah, no, I'm totally out of there the second you start trying to play my vagina like a trumpet or whatever. I'm gone.
It's about as helpful as somebody like getting down in there and then like trying to throw up a bunch of like Naruto hand signs.
That may be more effective at that point. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, but like this works somehow, and Fiona's like, "You got me. You've reeled me back in with your pitch. I'm back into it, I guess." And she stays, and they start having sex, and she explodes all the lights with something. She explodes all the lights with something. They have sex, and
witch
all the lights
orgasm,
explode
right?
in the
yeah.
house. Slash. Immediately, they're not even having sex yet when it happens. Like, they just start having sex, like, taking their clothes off, and she's like, the lights are now gone. And I'm like, all right, was this just a fucked up way to turn the lights off, Fiona? Also, like, it wasn't a red flag that you did that, and that guy was like, this is normal. The lights are always doing this. The lights are always exploding the moment I start having
he
sex with this random
fault,
woman.
Though. God, this apartment sucks. I just gotta keep going. Hope she doesn't notice.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, like, depending on where in the act this happens, you know, I might be like, yeah, just some light bulbs. But like right at the beginning, especially, it'd be like, whoa, hey, whoa, hold on. Once I get off you, miss. Did you see that?
I'd be like, this house is so fucking haunted, you have no idea. I'm like, I can't.
Hey, I killed a guy and stole this apartment, but it seems like there's a real fire code hazard. Do you want me to go kill a different guy?
Yeah.
Keep up, let's go. Come on.
He's like, this is fine. This is good, actually. And, like, I don't even know what the implication is supposed to be. Like, is the sex just... Is he, like, just really good at fingering because he's good at the saxophone? And, like, she's like, this is so good. This is the best ever. And that's why she exploded the lights. Or, like, what is the implication here? Because... It's not, like, super relevant, but, like, he will bring it up later. Like, oh, is your body always making the lights explode? And I'm like, that's
they
a good question, Fiona. It, does this happen
every
time?
They say I'm great at Ghostalingus. Like, what'd you say? Nothing. Anyway, I mean.
That would be that would suck to be a witch and, like, have that happen every time you start getting hot and heavy. Because then, like, every time you're with that partner from then on, you have to, like, explode the lights, even if it's not very good. Because otherwise they're going to know. Like, it's like, yeah, yeah. Like, you can't even pretend to, like, get off. You have to be like, God damn it, I have to blow up all the fucking light bulbs to make sure that I don't hurt his feelings or whatever.
Also, what if you're, like, very active partners, you know? That's just gonna, that cost is gonna add up really fast.
Yeah.
Can you, like, unscrew the light bulbs and, like, put them in a box and move them through the way?
Yeah.
Is that where? Because that's probably what I'd do is I'd be like, I mean, and then it'd be fun, too. Your witch wife comes home and you're, like, unscrewing the light
come
bulbs
on.
And you're like, oh,
come
hey,
on,
dear.
Spalding, stop pouting and take out all the fucking light bulbs already, Jesus.
Yeah. I gotta get back shots.
Yeah, yeah, put the box of light bulbs next to the cut chairs folding. Okay, thanks.
No, you can't take them up to your doll room, Spalding.
Still thought of something better than cutting out your tongue, stupid. Anyway.
And I know what you're all thinking. Like, wow, a lot has happened in this episode. I regret to inform you, we're not even at the halfway point of this episode yet. We're only about... roughly 15 minutes into the actual show. And a lot is going to continue to happen that we don't have time to talk about in one episode.
And for what it's worth, it is a lot of payoffs for what we've set up here. So, like, it should be a little bit quicker in the second half. Just because it is going to be more of
it's going to be worse.
And
it's
going to
be worse.
Delphine.
Oh, yeah.
Significantly
for sure.
Worse.
And more Kyle and everything. But, like, the scenes are all set. Because we're going to have the Zoe-Kyle-Madison incident. We're going to have Queenie and Marie Laveau. Queenie and Delphine. And then...
Zoe and the sorted cast.
Zoe
if you
and
think
everybody.
This is
going to
be really
yeah.
interesting and, like, have a great payoff. Boy, howdy, you are not ready.
Wow.
Yeah, anything you think is going to happen, even if we spoiled it, it's still not going to happen the way you think it's going to happen, I guarantee.
Also, there's an ending that I don't know if they were, like, trying to give me the vibes of the time that BioShock Infinite said, well, if they were in control, they would have been racist, too.
Yeah.
But they kind of do that. And it's not, like, good. I don't love the way this episode left me feeling, is how I'll say it. But, there's some real highlights-ass moments in the middle for sure, though. Boy, howdy. Queenie gets weird for the rest of the episode. in general, yeah.
The Kyle plotline takes a turn that I forgot that it takes, to a point that when it happened, I was like, I literally audibly said, oh,
yeah,
fuck, right,
I know exactly what you mean, because I forgot that too.
Yeah, it was my first time seeing it, and I went, no, come on, come on, like three times. And then they had another scene, and it went further, and I went, no, come on, man, he's a toddler. So anyway, look forward to that, everybody. Dear listeners, look forward to the thing that's making all of us sigh in a resigned way, either for the first time or as a fond memory.
As a suppressed thing coming back, but yes.
Boy, howdy. Well, yep. Till next time, everybody.
Later.
Bye.